Hi, and welcome to the QuitCast for Writers. This is the show that helps you know what to quit, what to keep, and what to question. My name is Becca Syme, and I am a success coach for authors with thousands of hours in coaching some of the most successful people in this industry. My goal in this podcast is to help you understand why you're not having success if you aren't, and how to double down on the success you're already having. Anyone can tell you what worked for them, and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. I can tell you why. Welcome to the QuitCast. Hi, everybody. Today, we're going to be doing a QTP episode, or Question the Premise, and we're going to be talking about a piece of advice that is very commonly given for when you want to write faster or get through books quicker. In fact, it's so common that I think it's almost the most common advice that people are given when they say to an expert, especially to certain types of authors who write very quickly, and they'll ask, how do I do this? And the answer is often, you have to outline your books, or you have to know what you are going to write before you write. Is there any reason to suspect that people who think differently, like whose brains kind of fall on different sides of a particular thinking spectrum, is there any way that might impact this? And in this particular piece of advice, there is one huge reason that you might fall on, should I outline or not? And the question, the premise piece of this is, for me, are you a subjective thinker or an objective thinker? Not necessarily do you fall in one category or the other, because very, very few people are completely objective or completely subjective, but where do you tend to fall when you're writing books? How do you do your best? How do you get your best work done? And one of the first places I like to start with this is the question of, and again, this is QTP, where do we get the assumption that stories have structure in the first place? Somebody had to create what we know as the structure, right? And if you've read Damon Swade's book, he goes into a really effective description of this, partly because he has a TV, film, and script writing background. And this is one of the things that you learn really early on if you're going to do any kind of work in that arena, is you learn about Aristotle and about poetics, right? Where did this three-act structure, quote unquote, come from? And of course, the reason that I talk about this isn't because I think there's something about the particular story that's important. It's about what happened before that story happened. So very quick rundown, Aristotle observed all of the plays that were around in this particular time in Greece, and he was looking for what the best plays had in common. So what he was looking for really was what made them so compelling, what made people talk about them. And he mapped out the stories on arcs to figure out what it was that they had in common. Well, that story is awesome. You can read more about it. Google Aristotle's Poetics, 3-Act Structure. Read Damon's book. It's really excellent. But for me, the key is what was going on before that happened. So before Aristotle came up with this model, there were people writing in a 3-act structure pattern just on their own, with their own brain to guide them, with no guidebooks, with no textbooks, with no teachers, with no nothing. There were people who were writing this way before we knew what writing this way meant, before somebody codified it, right? It is so important to understand that it is possible to write compelling stories without intentional structure put onto them from the outside at the beginning of the manuscript. It is so important to know that that is possible, because if you are the type of person who has tried this, you should outline your work advice a million times and it's never worked for you, then you're always thinking there's something wrong with me. There's something wrong with me. And I'm here to say there's nothing wrong with you. People were writing in this structure. They were writing compelling stories before we knew how to teach people how to do it, before it was codified. And so it's really important to know that it is absolutely possible to write a compelling story
without knowing what you're doing, without knowing how to label things or name things, without knowing what a turning point is or what a pinch point is. It's so important to know that it's possible to do that without intention or without teaching, because otherwise you're going to spend all of your time trying to understand something that you don't need to understand. So the first part of QTP for me with this is it possible to write great stories without outlining? Yes, it is. And so therefore, that to me, then that makes there be a continuum. So what is the continuum about whether or not you should be writing without outlining and whether or not it will make you faster? So we'll cover the will it make you faster part in just a second, because I want to get to the second piece of this, which is how you move through the story matters. So how you actually, as an individual storyteller, conceive of story matters a lot. And that's where we come to this idea of objective versus subjective thinking. So the very first thing you have to understand for me in knowing where you should fit on this continuum is to know, how do you actually move through the story? So think of it this way. If you buy I almost said VCR. You can tell when I was born, right? If you buy a DVD player and you bring it home to set it up, do you automatically read the directions? And do you just jump in and start putting it together? If you feel like you need to understand the big picture or to understand it objectively from the outside first, then you're more likely to want to read the instructions first so you know exactly what you're getting into before you start putting this together. IKEA furniture is another really good metaphor to understand this. How much do you need to know about something before you feel ready to jump in and do it? Now, that's only one part, so don't stop watching here, right? Because we want to also think about the why behind why you want to jump in or why you want to stop and understand. Because if you feel like you want to stop and understand, there is a consistent strength pattern in there in your brain that is helping you to understand things by looking at them from the outside. The way that I describe this commonly when I talk to writers individually is to think about a snow globe. And if you think of a snow globe has an exterior, and if you were standing outside of a big snow globe, how would you figure out where you were? The objective thinker would walk around the outside and they would take a look at, they would touch the glass. Maybe they would take a look at what the shape was and how it looked to them from the exterior. They might even back up to be able to get more perspective on it and see it really doing what it's supposed to do from the outside. That's the objective thinker. So the subjective thinker is the person who wants to jump inside and touch everything from the inside. And you could even hear how much of a subjective thinker I am, that I said in the objective part that they might want to touch the glass. But that's a very subjective thing, is to, if you think of a subjective thinker feeling around inside of the snow globe and trying to understand by how they relate to the subject, how am I interacting with this thing? What is this thing that I'm interacting with? And they're figuring it out by feeling it out. And so that kind of subjective thinking is the other side of the continuum from objective. Objective is look and have perspective. Subjective is get very close, right? And it's immerse yourself into something. So if you think about how important it is to understand those two continuums and where you fall on that road as far as how you like to jump into the story, then it can help you to make the decision about whether or not outlining or standing outside of the story and deciding what happens and being an objective thinker can actually help you. If you feel more comfortable when you know exactly what's going to happen and you have that sense of predictability and you know that as you look at something from outside, you're better able to understand how all of the pieces fit together by the way that you're objectively observing, then that means that you are more likely to be helped by outlining and looking at the objective story. And that's all well and good for people who think that way. But the problem is when you're a more subjective thinker and you tend to want to jump inside the snow globe and figure it out from the inside, if we force you to step out and look at the story from the outside, you are not using the type of brain that best suits your storytelling capacity. You're trying to use an objective thinking brain and perspective to help you get into something that you're not meant to think of story that way. That's not how your brain is processing the data. And the reason it's so important for me to make this distinction between these two things is because of the way that objective thinking and subjective thinking differ when it comes to story elements, particular story elements. So for instance, if you're an objective thinker, you are more likely to be able to conceive of how the story parts themselves fit together by looking at it from a high perspective. You're more likely to get all of those twists and turns right. So if you think about the difference between being in an airplane flying over a map and seeing the path laid out under you objectively, and being able to think, okay, if I was down there, this is what I would do. If I was down there, this is what I would do. And this is how these story pieces fit together. That's a very common way of how objective thinkers get through a particular story. The problem is when your brain is wired to be a subjective thinker and you are a feeler through all of those little story pieces, when you pull yourself up into this objective way and you say, get up in the airplane and look down and make all these choices, your subjective brain doesn't know the difference between a right and a left that you should take at that perspective. Because what you're used to is you're used to being immersed in the story and looking for the landmarks in different ways. So when you're objective, you're looking down at the landmarks from above and you know exactly what they look like. You know what shape they take in the story when they're acting in this way. You know what those plot points look like. And so it's easy for you to map out the story that you're going to tell and to have it be the same between when you get up on a high level and when you get down into the immersed level, because that's the way your autopilot computer is conceiving of data. But think of the difference between being in an airplane and being in a speeder, right? And I know that's a Star Wars reference, right? And I'm such a nerd. But if you think of speeders, they're speeding along at the landmarks from a different perspective. It's literally like you're using different tools to understand the perspective, the distance between objects, the perspective of landmarks in the story. You're using different tools when you have subjective versus objective thinking. And it's so important to think about this when you're asking the question, is outlining going to make me faster? Because, and I love everyone who gives this advice that it works for them. It's so awesome when it does work, because I've seen students and clients literally get twice as fast as they were before when the outlining actually works for them. And it clicks with something in their brain where they're able to now predict what is coming because they had that perspective shift from the beginning of the book. And they know what's coming and it helps them to know what's coming. When you're not that person, when you're more of a subjective thinker, when you tend to get into the skin of the character and live the story out through your fingers as though you were the character, then knowing what's coming is not going to help you, because your decisions are going to change once you get into that subjective thing, once you're feeling around inside of the story. And the key is you can still have great conflict and great tension in both ways. It's just, how are you going to get there? What questions are you going to ask yourself are going to be different. Instead of looking down and looking at structure and looking at percentages of the story and all that kind of objective thinking stuff, you're going to be thinking more in, like, let's say a scene and sequel way, where it's like, is the action rising and falling? Is there a new complication? Am I solving a problem? Did I have news of a difference? Have I changed the story? Those kinds of the differences between the ways that those subjective and objective thinking skills work inside the story is so important in knowing what's really going to make you faster in moving through it and what isn't. And the reason I spend so much time talking about this theory of objective versus subjective is that there is a continuum between these two things. There isn't just you're either one or the other. There's an awful lot of people who are kind of equally one and equally the other. They have what we call flexible rubber bands. It's easy for them to flex all the way into subjective for a while and then flex back and flex into objective and then flex back. And that sort of middle area then makes it much more difficult to know, is outlining really going to help me get faster or not? And so I always encourage people to think about this objective versus subjective, because if you have one of those flexible middle rubber bands and you're saying to yourself, okay, I tried the subjective way and now I'm at a turning point where I can't see what happens next. Okay, I'm going to flex up into my objective thinking and I'm going to look down and I'm going to plot for a little bit ahead and I'm going to see if that outlining forward will help me to get out of this place. But the problem is that it's not 100% given that you will be able to decide all of the things from the beginning of the story if you're in this subjective state of mind at all. Because oftentimes what will happen with subjective thinkers when they try to outline is they outline a story that is not the same story that they write. And so it doesn't actually save them any time. And part of the issue is that when you are a subjective thinker, when you get into the writing, you're making so many of those decisions with those immersive tools, those subjective tools that are all about the distance between the point from me to the point, or the potential five different directions that I could go and which one of them seems like it's going to have a roadblock at the end. The way that you're making choices inside of the book writing itself is so different than if you were to step outside of it and say, this is the best objectively. I'm evaluating these things. Because when you're subjective, you're more likely to write with other drivers in mind when you're inside of the story. You might have like the high individualization or the high strategic or the high empathy in the strengths language. You might be more guided by how the emotions of the character are driving them. Are they afraid right there? Then that's a sign that there's conflict coming, right? So the way that you're making decisions even inside the book is different. And it's not a given. Just because you outline it, you'll be able to write it. And so that's one. That's the third big question that I want you to ask when you're thinking about, will outlining make me faster? Are you writing what you plan, right? And that is a big question to ask. If you are not a person who tends to plan and then write what you planned, then you need to question the premise of whether or not this method is going to work for you. And the objective thinkers in the room are all going to say, well, then just write what you plan. But the problem is that that's not always possible, depending on just how subjective you are in your thinking capacity. And so you can't just tell someone to think how you think. You should just be an objective thinker, and so you should think how you think. Or if you're a subjective person trying to help somebody who is an objective person, and you're saying, well, just get into the character's skin and feel what they feel and make the decisions that come at you and look for where the conflict is and think like you're inside the snow globe is basically what you're telling them, then you're not helping them. They need to listen to somebody who is more objective, or you need to try to think like somebody who is objective and help them with the markers that they would be looking for. So it's a super, super different process. And the point of having this discussion is not to say, first of all, and this is important, it's not to say that no one should ever outline books in order to get faster. There are plenty of people who will get faster by outlining their books, but not everyone. And as I say at the very end of this intro all the time, anyone can tell you what worked for them and they can say it might not work for you, but they can't tell you why. And I can tell you why. This is what I mean. It's this type of QTP stuff of sometimes there is a way that we think very differently, a way that we process information very differently that means that the way that works for you won't work for me or vice versa. And we need to be asking these questions more consistently because some of us are making decisions about how to work our writing lives that are losing us time, and we're listening to very well-meaning people because we're not being wise about our own decision-making capacity. we don't know enough about ourselves to know who to listen to and who not to. And so my encouragement is always get to know yourself, look for the patterns in your own personality and how you make decisions and whether or not that lines up with how other people who are giving you advice make decisions. It is super important. There is no such thing as unilateral advice that works for everyone. And so we always want to question the premise. Thank you guys so much for listening to that. I know that it was a lot of sort of philosophical language and a lot of differentiating between things. And I hope that I have been as clear as I could possibly be. Hopefully I was clearer than mud. That's important to me. But this is what we're going to do in between strength episodes for a while. We're going to tackle some of these big picture writing questions in a QTP way, as far as who should and shouldn't be doing what and how to ask yourself a question or questions to know whether particular pieces of advice are going to work for you or not. I said this in an interview the other day, and I realize I don't say this enough, but my goal is to produce better decision makers in all of us, including myself. The reason that I study all of this stuff is so that I will be a better decision maker, that I'll know where my anchor is, and I'll know how to listen and not listen to people based on what's going to work for me and what isn't. And that is definitely the goal here, is to make us more aware of what's going on in our brain so that we can be better decision makers. And I just hope that this has been helpful. If not, please ask questions in the comments and hopefully I can clarify there. If you're confused by anything, I'm happy to do what I can do to help clarify what is a very difficult decision to make as far as, am I going to get faster or not by outlining. So thank you all so much for watching. And as always, there are classes open, there are links in the show notes, and I hope that you all will be back next week when we talk about more Question the Premise. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'll see you next week.